And I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter, I think I will. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the thing that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Father, tonight we come before you, and Lord, our prayer is that you would speak to us through the Word of God, that you'd keep us free from distractions. Lord, that tonight that we could see things in the Bible that would encourage us, but also guide us. And Lord, just help us to learn a few things now. And we ask you to be a blessing to us as we meet and pray as a church. And now open the Word of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The statement you see in verse 16 is so absolute. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." One thing that's very obvious is there is a way not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we understand what that is. We understand because we live in the flesh. In fact, Paul wrote to the Romans, and in a different context, he said, "We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh." All of us know what it means to wrestle with the flesh. And we might tend to look at this list that you see here in Galatians chapter 5, and we might say to ourselves, "Well, that's not a problem, that's not a problem, that's not a problem." But it's a rather exhaustive list. And for example, some of the things in the list you might not at first expect. He talks about strife or wrath. He talks about heresies. He talks about hatred. And I've known some people that profess to be Christians that struggle with those vices, if you can call them that. They are the works of the flesh. We know what it means to struggle with the flesh, but the Bible says there is a way not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says plainly in verse 16, telling each of us, if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The second thing I would say to you that's obvious is this: there is a way to tell if you are walking in the Spirit. Simple reasoning here, once again: if we're walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Sort of like a little indicator light. You know, maybe you've got one of those. I used to have a car, and when you were getting the best gas mileage, a little light would come on. And if you hit the floor, the pedal to the floor to try to pass somebody, the light would go out. But when the light was on, you were getting good gas mileage, the car thought. And so you kind of would try to keep the light on all the time. And the indicator here is, are we fulfilling the lust of the flesh? If the answer is no, then it seems to be we're walking in the Spirit. But if we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, then the contrary is true. Now, thirdly, you're going to walk in one place or another. And he draws that contrast in the rest of the chapter. He says there in verse 17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." In other words, there's a conflict. There are two different agendas. There's the flesh has a desire and the Spirit has a desire, and it's just one or the other. You're either going one way, you're not never in the middle. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And so we desire, of course, to walk in the Spirit. We'll talk about how to do that here in just a minute. And then he provides us with two lists, and we won't look at these exhaustively tonight, But you can tell where you're walking, not just by that one simple indicator I gave you, but by looking at the list. And these are things, I want to look at the fruit of the Spirit first. It's much more encouraging. And just look at a couple of things. Look at verse 22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is, and then there's a list of nine things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I will talk about each of those just for a minute. But think of that concept of fruit. We know about fruit. We have fruit trees. And it's not our product. It's the product of the Spirit. Amen? So the Spirit will produce these things if we will allow it. If we will be submitted to the Spirit. And again, I'll talk about how to walk in the Spirit as I finish up in just a minute. But if we submit ourselves to the Spirit, then this product comes along. It's not something that comes from us. It comes from God through us. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We understand each of these. Love for God, love for one another. Joy in our heart. Peace, peace in our situation. Being at peace in the sense of trusting God. I'm not going to read the whole list, but you get the general idea there. We could look at each of these exhaustively, but just in general, you can see the context that the Spirit is going to produce these things in the life of a person who's walking in the Spirit. Then there's the other list in verses 19 through 21, much longer list. Look at verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh. There's a difference in works and fruit. If given the opportunity, the flesh is going to do certain things. If my flesh is given the opportunity, it's going to do certain things. And when that flesh is given the opportunity, we're going to see things like these. The first few deal with immorality, different moral sins. But then in verse 20, idolatry, which is trusting in something other than God. Witchcraft today, if, amazingly, there's a lot of that goes on in the world, in our country as well. Hatred, wrath, it talks about strife, envying in verse 21. You see, there's a great deal here to do with the way we deal with one another. And then there's one there that's interesting to me is the one heresies. Where do heresies come from? Not from God. They come from the flesh, typically as a result of pride. So you can tell whether you're walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. The lists are opposites. They are different from one from the other. And it's very clear where we are traversing. And then in verse 25, he says, if, and that word is a big word there, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's good to know you're saved, amen? That's a starting point for anybody that as a born-again Christian, confidence in the promises of God, we sang standing on the promises, confidence that God promised us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's not a question of whether or not we can earn. We cannot earn forgiveness. It's not a question of whether or not we can do the works necessary. We cannot do the works. We cannot keep the law. But we're saved by faith. And we're saved by faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Starting right there, it's good to know you're saved. We are saved because we believe what God said. Amen? And now the Spirit of God lives in us. And what he says there in verse 25 is, we live in the Spirit. Because of the Spirit of God, we have eternal life. But now we have a choice to make. He says, if we live in the Spirit, then he says, let us also walk in the Spirit. It is a choice that we have to make. I'm going to talk about how in just a minute, but I want to mention one more thing first. And that is the flesh and the Spirit being contrary. There needs to be another factor here, and that factor is salvation. In verse 21 at the end of the verse, he says, they which do such things, those are the things that the works of the flesh, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says in verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Folks, were it not for the Spirit of God, we would not be changed. And without the Spirit of God, there's no hope of change. And so as you look at folks that would like to try to save themselves by being good enough, that's what he's talking about here earlier. He says you can't do that because the flesh won't let you. Only with God's working in our life are we going to be different. And so there is, however, something we can do to help that. And I'm just going to be really quick. It won't be 10 minutes at the most, maybe 7 or 8. How do we walk in the Spirit? Now, again, let's go back to verse 16 and just get this, make it real simple. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They go together. So if I was to ask the question, how can I walk in the Spirit? It's the same, very same question is how can I not fulfill the lust of the flesh? They're equal. You know, if one thing's equal to the other, and what's that math principle that somebody teaches math can tell me? If something's equal to this one, it's equal to that one. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and vice versa. So to walk in the Spirit is not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can I do that? Five things, really quick. Number one, stay off of that fleshly path. And I would say it this way, don't enter into the path. Don't enter into temptation. Now, just a thought. Not starting is easier than stopping. Would you agree? Not starting is easier than stopping. Every day, God gives us strength for the day, and His mercies are new every morning. And when we wake up in the morning, aren't you glad that there's that distance between you and yesterday and the failures of yesterday and the woes of yesterday and whatever that might have been? And God, in this world, He established the day with the idea that we would rest and that we would rejuvenate ourselves in our mind and our body and wake up with a new opportunity for a new day. And I have found something in my life, and I think you'll agree with me, you found this as well. If I set my sights on the right path, by God's grace and strength, if I'll stay on that path, it's much easier to stay than to get off and get back on. Something will come along. The devil's going to try and knock you off the path. How many of you ever played King of the Mountain when you were kids? You ever play that game? I used to live in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And on Friday nights, they had the high school football games. Well, I was in the 7th grade. The high school games were for the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. And so my dad, or maybe a friend's dad, would take me and a couple of other boys and drop us off at the high school football game. And then at the end of the game, we'd meet them back in the parking lot and they'd take us home. What they didn't know was we spent no time watching the game and the whole time playing around the ballpark. And one of the games we liked to play at the end zone on one end of the football field, they had leveled the field out and then it just dropped off. And it was not a sheer drop. It was just an incline of about 20 feet. And we would play King of the Mountain, where one of us would get up there and the others would try to knock him down and take his place and try to knock him down and take his place. And we'd play that for just forever during these football games. The devil comes along with you and I. We start the day on the mountain. He tries to knock us off. So point one, and I'm going to add to this with my next points in just a minute. Stay on that path. Don't let the devil knock you off. Be ready for that. It's coming. And you'll identify it. You'll say, oh, hey, there's that temptation. The devil's trying to get me off the path. And don't do that, okay? Let's see how we cannot do that. Number two, fortify yourself or equip yourself with prayer and Bible early in the day. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing. And Ephesians says the shield of faith can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The sooner in my day I spend time in the Bible and prayer, the better fortified I am to face the day. The better my mind is set on the things of God instead of the things of the flesh and the things of the world and the devil. So number one, don't get knocked off the path by, number two, equipping yourself to stay on the path. You know, when you play King of the Mountain, you don't keep your feet close together. You brace yourself and you kind of get your balance to where you can shift around. And they taught us that in football as well. And when you get ready for your day, get ready. The devil's coming, right? So fortify yourself. If you do not prepare yourself, you're going to get knocked off the path. And getting back on is not nearly so easy as staying on. Thirdly, verse 18, a little bit here. He says, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so there again, there's an equation. We know we're not under the law because we're saved. And so we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit wants to lead us. We need to follow. And if you follow the Spirit, He will lead you in a way that will keep you out of trouble in the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Being led of the Spirit is how we can walk in the Spirit, follow what the Spirit of God says. And again, I jump back to the thought of in the morning, starting with Bible and prayer. But as the day continues, you know, here's an easy thought. When we are serving, we're not sinning, right? When we're serving, we're not sinning. When we're praying, when we're witnessing, when we're, you know, preparing for our ministries, or when we are encouraging other folks in the Lord, or when we are whatever we're doing, when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're serving, we're not sinning. And so you're another fortification is not just prayer and Bible reading, but following what the Spirit has for you during the day. Good thing to pray in the morning. Lord, lead me today and show me what you want me to do. And sometimes the day will take a turn you didn't expect. That phone call I got from Brother Dahlquist the other day, it's gotten so bad, you just almost cannot answer a phone call on your cell phone anymore without it being a telemarketer. If it's an out-of-state call, I pretty much just send them a message. I can't answer right now and let them leave a voicemail, then I'll call them right back. So Brother Dahlquist called, and I sent a text message. I can't answer right now. He left a voicemail, and I called him back. And it was just nice for me to see that God had a plan, and all I had to do is just follow that plan, and now we've got somebody to speak on Sunday to prepare us for our missions conference. Just letting the Spirit of God lead us. You do those kind of things. God will have some things for you each day if your eyes are open to those. So number one, stay off that fleshly path. Don't enter temptation. Stay on that right path. Number two, equip yourself to stay on that path. Number three, follow the Spirit who will lead you down that path. Number four, and I just quote, we won't turn there, Romans 13, 14. The Bible says not to make provision for the flesh. If you have the resources that the flesh desires, then sometimes what that does is that leads to the flesh having its way in the lust of the flesh. Now, I'll give you an example. I've mentioned this to you before, I think, but Billy Sunday told a story about how he had a hard time when he was younger with alcohol. And so if he was in a city, they said he would go a block out of the way to stay away from a bar just to avoid the temptation. If you're trying to stop smoking, then don't have cigarettes in the house. If you're trying to stop, you know, whatever. I had a fellow in our church in Maryland get saved, and kind of shocking, about 6 months later, he said, "Pastor, I finally stopped smoking marijuana." Well, good, you know. And I'm glad you won that battle. I wish I'd have known about it a little bit earlier. But you know, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't have the things there that the flesh can use for sin. And then number five, and I'll just tie them together and we're done. When you get knocked off the path, get back on. 1 John 1:9, such a practical, such a beautiful verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will restore us, amen? Confession and forgiveness. It is possible to be right with God and to get right with God. When I was in college, I used to compete in a kind of a cross-country thing. It was running, but it was running a map course. So we'd be running in the bush and brushes and stuff like that. And the very first time I competed, I didn't know very much. And so on the map, what I was doing was I was going point to point. And this is in Louisiana. And in Louisiana, you don't go anywhere point to point, because there's bushes and there's thorns, and they have these things in Louisiana called wait-a-minute vines. Anybody ever heard of a wait-a-minute vine? Well, you're running down the trail, and this vine runs across the trail, and it's got little tiny thorns on it, so it kind of grabs onto you. And so all of a sudden, you got to stop and wait a minute to get yourself out of these things to keep on going. So we're running this course. It's the very first one I had ever run. And I was working hard. I went from point one to point two to point three, and every time I got to a point, I'd be a little bit bloodier and a little bit dirtier and a little bit muddier and a little bit more tired. And there was this guy, and every time I'd get to a point, he'd be there, and he was clean, and he was just doing real well, you know. And so finally, about the seventh or eighth point, the guy said to me, he said, "You're running point to point, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you know that about 100 yards over there, there's a road?" And if you just run 100 yards over here and get on the road and then run what would be wind up about half a mile, and you come back in and punch the card and go back out to the road and do another half a mile, he said, you're really doing this the hard way. He said, if you just stay on the road, you can get to all the points you're getting to and not get all cut up and bruised and muddy and everything and do it in just as much time. And sure enough, he and I finished about the same time. I was in a lot worse shape than he was. He had enough sense to stay on the path. And when he got off the path, he got back on. And that's how we walk in the Spirit. And we ought to endeavor to do that. Amen. I mean, think of the blessing. Walk in the Spirit. And he's, let me just read it again and I'm done. He says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know, when you have let the flesh have its way, it did not make you happier. It did not make you exuberant or feel like you had a blessed day or feel like you could go to God in prayer or all the rest. When we fall into sin, one of the great things about being saved is it makes us miserable. But when we walk in the Spirit, we feel great. Amen? Love, joy, peace. The things that brings comfort to our hearts. So to walk in the Spirit is something we all, just if nothing else, just for our own good, ought to desire to do. Real quick, and I'm done once again. Stay off that wrong path. Just get on the path in the morning and stay there. Equip yourself to stay on the path. Let the Spirit lead you. Follow what the Spirit of God asks you to do during the day. Don't provide for the flesh. And then if you do get off the path, get right with God and get back on the path. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Let's stand and pray.